If you've flown on an airplane, you should be thankful for air traffic controllers. What do air traffic controllers do? Well, they direct planes when and where to take off, and where to land, and what flight patterns to use. Although pilots have every intention of avoiding collisions, without air traffic control, countless collisions would nevertheless occur. This means that even in situations where everyone has only good intentions, some rules and guidelines are needed for everyone's good. This is why God's law of unselfish love is so important. God's law is actually intended for the flourishing of all humans. It is the best way to love, akin to a best care or instruction manual. Even in a perfect world, we will need God's law of unselfish love to avoid unintentional conflicts of interest. If at least billions of free creatures do whatever they want without any regard for overarching laws, conflicts would occur even if everyone intended only good. Mere creatures cannot be a law unto ourselves because we do not know what is best in all circumstances. We cannot even fathom all the factors involved. Only one who knows everything, the end from the beginning, could lovingly direct the traffic of creaturely interests such that there would be no conflict, ensuring perfect peace, perfect harmony, and the greatest flourishing of all. God's moral law, the law of unselfish love, is necessary for the harmony of the universe. This is why God gives us his law of love, which even he will never break. Some think God's laws are against us, but in fact, God's laws are for us so that we can flourish. There are many questions that people ask about God's law that I cannot answer here. But I explain about these more in my book, God With Us, including about God's amazing gift of the Sabbath, in which we can find rest that is so needed in our busy and stressful world. Here, I simply wish to emphasize that God's laws are for us so that we can flourish. If you receive a gift, a beautiful piece of furniture, but cannot figure out how to put it together, wouldn't you be delighted if it came with instructions? You wouldn't shake your fist at the instruction manual and say, "I want to do it my way. How dare you tell me to build it this way?" Of course not. So why would we do that when it comes to God's instructions for us? He made us, and he loves us, and he knows what is best for us. God's law of love is expressed in what Christ identified as the two greatest commandments. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Notice, these two great commands, the law of love for God and love for others, parallel the Ten Commandments. If you look carefully, the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments are about our relationship to God. Love, involving loyalty and allegiance, our vertical relationship toward God. The first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." The second one, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, an idol." The third commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain." And the fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day, to keep it holy." The last six commandments, instead, are about our relationship with one another. Again, love in our horizontal relationships with one another. So the fifth commandment teaches, "Honor your father and your mother." The sixth says, "Do not kill." The seventh, "Do not commit adultery." The eighth commandment adds, "Do not steal." The ninth says, "Do not bear false witness." And the tenth commands, "Do not covet what belongs to other people." After referring to these commandments, Paul writes that these are summed up in this saying, namely, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The authors of Scripture treasured God's law as a precious gift. The pagan gods in the stories of the surrounding nations were deeply immoral. They were fickle, untrustworthy, arbitrary, and petty. You never knew what might please them, or, on the other hand, what might make them angry. In direct contrast, the God of the Bible is just the opposite. He is perfectly moral, perfectly trustworthy. He is not arbitrary or petty. And he lays out his law of unselfish love so that everyone can know not only what pleases him, but exactly what is best for everyone. God's law itself is not arbitrary, but it is a transcript of his character. It flows from who he is. He gives it to us because he wants us to have more abundant life. Imagine, however, living in constant fear that the gods would not be happy with you, whatever you might think or say or do. Living like that would be terrifying. You'd be walking on eggshells all the time, never sure if a vindictive God would be out to get you. But the God of the Bible is not against you. He is for you. It is the enemy of God and of all his people, the devil named Satan, who is against you and brings accusations against you. God is the one who defends you from those accusations, the one who makes a way to save you through Jesus Christ. Ancient Israelites saw God's giving of his law as a great display of God's gracious favor, providing assurance, providing peace, and providing hope. Thus, Psalm 119, verse 97 teaches, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Today, however, many people think of God's law as abstract do's and don'ts. But God's law of love is not like this. It expresses the principles of abundant life, the avenue to true contentment and genuine happiness. God's moral laws are not arbitrary, and they are not merely abstract principles, but they are commands and instructions for the harmonious flourishing of all creation. Imagine for a moment driving a car in busy city traffic. Now, imagine there are no traffic laws. No stoplights, no stop signs, no traffic directions, no lines on the road. Similar to the chaos and death and destruction that would ensue if everyone drove cars on busy streets without any traffic laws or guidelines, apart from God's law, creation could not flourish. God's law of unselfish love is for everyone's good. If following God's law would keep you from what is currently your heart's desire, that actually serves you to show that there is a problem with your heart. We are selfish and in need of a Savior. But God's law of love never keeps you from what you would desire if you knew what God knows with only loving intentions. God knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you far more than you love yourself or anyone else. And he knows just what is best for you and for all others. And he wants only what is best for you and for others. And he possesses the power to finally bring about everyone's best good. God's law is good and can be trusted because God is love. Perhaps you're not sure about this. That's okay. I invite you to give it a try. Seek God's ways of life and implement them in your life and see what happens. And there's more good news. God does not simply give us the instructions and leave us on our own, but he comes alongside us to change us from the inside out. If you ask him, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you even now. And remember, God can be trusted. He is not a vindictive lawgiver, but one who offers instructions to us as to how we might get the very most out of life.